Hallelujah. Praise God. Here we are again, church. Another CIP graduation. I love this ministry. I love these people. I love that you love these people. Where's Brother Kerry Millen at? Where you at, Brother Kerry? Back here, Brother Kerry. Brother Kerry. That's just how the church is. You know, I appreciate all of you. Brother Kerry, he comes back whenever he can. He comes back and he shakes everybody's hand and says, thank you guys for coming tonight. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making the decision to do this, to do something different. You understand? That's what we're trying to do here. Just trying to give an opportunity for people to go a different route. Go the Jesus route. The Jesus route works. Amen. Who can I get a witness? The Jesus, it works. Mark, does it work? Deneen, does it work, baby? Hallelujah. Well, welcome everybody. You can be seated to the, 12,000th CIP graduation. I don't know how many it is. It's a lot. We're excited about it. My wife and I are doing this. I think this is our third year, fourth year. I don't know. You just keep going, right? I'm so thankful for my wife. Come on up here, honey. I'm so thankful for my wife. The socks. It's the socks. She picks out the socks, Pastor. My wife would like to say a few things, if we could let her.
Thank you for letting me. Praise the Lord, church. We have some new things happening with CIP, so we want to take this opportunity to tell you all the exciting things that are happening behind the scenes that you may know about. You see a lot of people getting baptized with the Holy Spirit almost like every single week, and that's exciting, but there's so much more going on with CIP, and we're really, really excited about it. Due to the jail having some different policies, they have what is called a jail diversion program, meaning they're trying to empty out the jails so they will send people who are incarcerated home on a bracelet. And we still work with them, and we try to get them to come if possible, but there's a lot of red tape with that. But the resulting kind of consequence to that is we're seeing less graduates because they'll come here for like maybe 6 weeks and then they'll go on the bracelet, and if they want to come back, great, but if not, so it's causing a little bit less graduations. And we're just plugging forward. We're still reaching so many people, and we're happy to do that. But because of that, we're only having 2 graduations per year. We used to have 4, but now we're having 2. So we just wanted to let you all know why the change is, and we're seeing bigger classes because of that, and we have an amazing class this time. Another new thing is we've set up a food team. Doesn't that sound like the greatest team ever? Sister Kayla Powell, she's probably out cooking. No, there she is. Hi, Kayla. Can all the students give a big thank you to Mama Kayla and her good cooking? That's what we all call her, Mama Kayla. And because we were a little bit sporadic in the past about providing food, and we did what we could, but Mama Kayla just can't see anybody go hungry anywhere, ever, and even full is not good enough. You have to be stuffed. And so she approached me, and she said, I want to help, and she's headed up our food team, and if you ever want to volunteer, you feel like making a lasagna some Sunday afternoon, just please let Kayla know, and we'd love to get any help we can with that. Also, I want to just thank our church for giving. This church, I mean, you're such a giving church, and you give to CIP, and we see that, and it's amazing. And just so you know what your giving actually is accomplishing, we were able to purchase about 20 Bibles, really high-quality NIV Bibles with a good translation, really good font size, and they have to be soft cover for jail regulations, and we have those available now to give out to students that really need them. And that's so exciting to be able to be like, we're not going to give you those really nasty Bibles. The font is like 0.2 or something. Like, we invested in getting them Bibles that mean something, as a translation they can understand, and we're really excited about that. Also, just the food. I mean, food costs money, and we use that, your giving, to provide them with a meal, which is so important because what's the jail food like, y'all? Yeah. It's unidentifiable. Bless their hearts. But so, I mean, just coming and having even some fresh fruit.
UFO burgers.
You don't want to know what that is. Or jailhouse burritos. No. So just having some fresh fruits and vegetables even can just make their week. And, you know, I'm like, if we can't get the money other way, we're like, we got food. And they're like, what? We're coming to CIP. But it's also like, you all students, you know we love you. And that's just another way that we show how much we love you is we feed you. Also, we have students who can't afford the books, and your giving goes to the books as well. And that's really important. And I have to, because I like to be in charge of the thank yous, because I love to say thank you. But Sister Hawk, can you stand? And Brother Hawk, can you stand, please? Thank you. If for those of you that don't know, Reverend and Sister Hawk were the ones that created this program with Bishop Grant back in the day when I was like a teenager. And sometimes I'm still like, oh, I can't believe you let us run this ministry. We're like 12 years old. But they do. And it was their blood, sweat, and tears. They had to deal with things that would have made me turn tail and run. I told them, I was like, you all built the big ship, and we just are like, oh, we get to drive it, woohoo, you know, and it's so easy because of all of their hard work, and they're always there for us, they're always available for us, and if you could see the text messages between me and Audrey, it's me, panic, 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 and she's like, calm down and call the deputy, you'll be fine. I'm like, what? So thank you, Audrey, she's been amazing, and Audrey still has set up a jail Bible study for the women in Dane County Jail. I don't know if all of you know that. But there's a team of about 6 or 8 of us that go, praise God. Janine just got approved to go. This is the first time Janine's been back to jail without being arrested. Like, praise Jesus. And I'm telling you what, if any of you were ladies were at ladies retreat and Sister Vonnie Marshall was talking about how God doesn't move if there's fluorescent lighting, y'all heard that at ladies retreat? Well, being in jail and it stinks and the lights and there's deputies and it's just the epitome of just depressing. God shows up, let me tell you. People start crying. We had one lady refilled with the Holy Ghost. And, I mean, they're just pouring their hearts out, and it's such an important thing. And I just want to just give honor to the Hawks because they're amazing. And if I could have all the teachers, drivers, food cookers, anyone involved in CIP, could you stand, please? Woo! Thank you all so much. Noah and I are so blessed. We could not do this without our staff. We really, really couldn't. So many times little emergencies come up, and I'm like, hey, can you go there? Can you do this? Can you do 3 things at once? And they're always like, yep, and they get it done. And I mean, it's giving up your afternoons, and I just want to say how much we appreciate you. Make our job so much easier, and I can't tell you how many times students have come to me and just like, man, I feel so welcome here, and I'm just really appreciative for that. And finally, I would like to thank the students. Y'all don't have to come here, and you make the choice to come, and we appreciate that. And
amen.
I don't know, we love you guys. That's just a God thing. I'm telling you. I tell my girls in class all the time. It's like, I don't go around every day just loving on people. I should, but I don't. But like when I meet you all from CIP, I'm just like an instant. Like, I just love you guys. That's a God thing. He loves you so much. And I'm just so proud of you. And I have to say, our girls that are graduating, 2 of them are out of state right now, so they couldn't attend. But normally, unfortunately, what happens if someone doesn't complete their classes before their sentence is up, they often don't come back. They'll you know, we'll try, we'll call, we'll do everything we can, but it's easy serving God in jail, honestly. But when you get out, I mean, there's so many things that are just pulling at your time and your attention. And we have 5 ladies that got out and kept coming.
Praise God.
It was It was, I don't know, I'm like, praise Jesus, I don't know what's going on, but it is amazing, and I don't teach the men's class, so I love you guys, I'll let Noah talk about that, but my girls are, if you haven't met the ladies that graduate, oh, he'll talk about the guys, don't worry, but my ladies are just, I'm so proud of you guys, I just have to say, I'm just so proud of you. You all work so hard. I mean, there's kids, there's so many things involved, and you guys have just stuck it out, and you're helping, and you're just seeing the life change is awesome. So I just want to publicly say how much I love you, how much we all love you, and we're just proud of you today.
Thank you, honey.
We have a good time in class. We get serious. We have a good time. We, you know, typically when I teach, we do like a check-in. We go around the room, right, fellas? Good, bad, or otherwise. Sometimes we'll have, you know, you got your headline on the top of your lesson. We don't always go there. If somebody has an issue that's on their heart, we bring it up in class. And as, collectively as a group, what we look at it and we say, well, what does the Bible say? What saith the Lord about this problem? And we apply that to it. So it's what's really neat, and this is God. What's really neat is we'll get off on a tangent in class, and we'll go down that vein or that train of thought, and we'll be doing this. And then later, an hour later, God will confirm what happened in that class through the pastor's preaching. He'll come out with the same scripture, and he has no idea what's happening in there, you know. And he'll come out, and he'll confirm it with his message. 9 out of 10 times, and God is moving in the CIP, and we just love that, and we appreciate you those that are doing this. Again, it's just awesome, and it takes a village, it takes a whole church, and we appreciate you all. We covet your prayers, and CIP, you got, amen. You got a whole church praying for you, amen. All right. On with the graduation. Some people could not make it tonight. I'm going to call everybody's name. Some of them are here, and some of them could not make it due to being out of town and other engagements prior that were already set up. So somebody's getting baptized tonight. New Orleans is getting baptized tonight. Amen. Look at him. All right. Let's rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, New Orleans, God's got something special for you tonight. Amen. I told you I was going to get you. All right. Without further ado, when I call your name, please come on up, get your certificate, and we're going to line up over here. Like I said, some are not here, but we're going to acknowledge them anyways, right? Because everybody matters. Everybody matters. Brian Knight, he's not here. Let's give him a hand, though. Thanks, Brother Hawk. Jermaine Greer, I think he's in Chicago. He couldn't make it. Let's give Jermaine a great big hand. This is such a sweet... Marilyn Davis. Come on up, girl. Woo! It's a testimony right here. Gwendolyn Pointer, did she make it? I don't think she made it. Okay. Huh? Mississippi. Let's give her a hand for being in Mississippi. Bridget Manning, she couldn't make it. Let's give her a hand. Do we got this on a live feed, Facebook or something like that? Okay, all right. Bridget, we acknowledged you. We wish you were here. Where is Autumn? Autumn, come on up. She is just pure sunshine. Pure sunshine. Who here knows Rodney Ashcraft? Come on up, brother. What an asset. What a testimony to the CIP right here. Gabby, come on up. Bring little King. And Jess Maxfield, she couldn't make it tonight. But let's honor Jess. All right. Thank you, Brother Hawk. Praise God. Well, this is this is the time when I turn it over to them. I want you guys to feel free to say whatever you want. And just share something, all right?
What an anointing on this platform. I've got to give accolades where they're due because it's not about me. To some, this may just be a sheet of paper. And you're probably wondering why I'm up here anyway, most of you. So first of all, I want to give honor to all the pastoral staff, Brother Hawk, the mentors I have scattered across the United States, in Mississippi where I'm from. Up until the point of Brother Forkpaw preaching to me, every service he was preaching to me. And I've learned as a man, an apostolic man, it's not a private party. I can't sit in my pew and have my own little apostolic private party because that's not the way God designed it. Holy Ghost baptism ain't a one-time experience and you sit down and you're good the rest of your life. I've had several men come to me, not only since I've been here in this church, but even down south, and ask me, why are you always at the altar? You're the only man there. Everybody else is women. I said, well, God didn't design it that way. I'm not dying. I don't have cancer because I got a bald head. I'm praying to my God. I had a man of God that's in my life, a mentor, tell me before I backslid as a minister, I'm sorry you made me first with the microphone, by the way. He told me, Brother Rodney, if you got to ride that altar all the way to heaven, ride that altar. And considering the background that I come from, you know, I'm not going to talk about war stories, but I'm going to give you a glimmer at what, from the time I was 15 to 2009, December 26, 2009, when I had my resurrection zone, so to speak, moment, my day of reckoning, I come out of a background of chop shopping, safe thieving, strong arming, crystal meth cooking, cocaine cooking, selling, 3-6 Mafia in Memphis. I was a big fan of theirs with my bulldogs and my automatic guns and all the bad stuff. But I wound up in church at one point in my life in a non-denominational church and got the Holy Ghost. And God got a hold of me in such a way. I got married, thought I had it made, till it went south. Literally, she split. Took off with my kid for 9 months. And it did something to me as a minister in praise team ministry, in jail ministry. It just affected me in such a way that I hated myself. I hated God. I hated everybody around me. I was a complete failure, you know. And I wound up getting baptized in the truth through my divorce because I met some friends of mine that were in the truth. And I got drawn into that, but I still, because of the divorce and everything, I backslid and fell into darker things than I was in before I got the Holy Ghost, got in church. Well, as a backslidden minister, I dove head deep in to cooking crystal meth and to stealing safes and just bad stuff, chop shopping. I mean, just deep in it as I could get to the point where you could probably smell the smell of death on me because I wanted to die. Didn't have the guts to blow my brains out. So I'll just cook a bad batch And with every bad batch that I knew was just bad, chemicals, chemical burns, had stuff blowing in my eyes. It's a wonder I still got my eyesight, thanks to God. I wanted to die because I was a failure. I failed God, I failed myself, and there was no way back up until December 26, 2009, when I woke up in Lee County in Tupelo, Mississippi, in a county jail. And 3 days later, after the fact, I woke up, matter of factly, I woke up 3 days later because I'd been running. I was probably 120 pounds, soaking wet, skeletal, lonely, hungry, and burned every bridge in my life that you could possibly burn. And they're still burnt, but God's working on them. Long story short, you move forward. I'm in prison. God's blessing me with a guitar, a PA. I'm leading praise and worship in prison because of Chaplain Bayes, little old black guy, about this tall, seeing something in me that I couldn't even see in myself. And when you ain't got nobody, you burn all of the bridges, you're sitting on your rack in prison, everybody's waving them pretty smelling letters in your face. They're cooking them burritos, and you can't even scrape up nothing to make half a burrito or half a shot of coffee. Come on, now, I'm not the only one that's ever hurt my mama. I know I'm not the only one that's ever hurt my mama in this place, whether it was being in sin or being in hell, living in whatever. I know I'm not the only one that's ever hurt their mama in some form or fashion. I know I'm not. But I'm the generational curse breaker. And further than that, Claude, when you see him running around and you're upset and you're high-minded apostolic thinking, get that kid away from there. What are you letting him run for? I was raised on a bar about the same height as this right here, and I was up there with my little plastic guitar around all the drunks and the alcoholics on the stage. Hey, that's what this church is for, ain't it? It's a reconditioning place, ain't it? Now let's get to the good stuff, because I got a strong word of encouragement for everybody in here, whether you're CIP or you've been sitting in your pew for 30 years. Somebody in here is going through financial stuff. Somebody in here is going through depression. All right? Well, let me give you some encouragement, because this is the kind of God I serve. And I wasn't, because of Brother Forkpaw, I've come out of my private party. So forgive me, because this ain't a private party. All right? So we've been praying, my wife and I. I thank God for an awesome wife. She is a straight blessing, straight from heaven for me. I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for her, I'd still be sitting down in Mississippi scraping the bottom. I'm trying to get there, man. But anyway, moving forward, praise God for people like Glenn Usselman. God opened up the door with Brother Glenn and Brother Hawk. I'm going to the prisons that I once lived in, and I'm getting to be a light. Because the word says, I had a sheriff friend of mine tell me like this down south. And some people were kicking him down because he was a backslidden minister and a sheriff of the county I lived in. And he went to prison for crystal meth manufacturing. All right. And a lot of people were kicking him while he was already down. You went to prison. Yeah, but you never did come see me. How many people here has been to see somebody in prison, even if you didn't know them? That's what the word says, folks. It don't say come ye, it says go ye. We can come here on a Wednesday or Sunday, but that's not all what it's all about. It goes back to, why was I at the altar with all these women? You ought to not be up there with all them women. You ought to be. So now somebody's going through some struggles and some hard times. And CIP, there's not anybody that's gone through the program that hasn't been where I've been, or going through what I've gone through, or me going through what you're going through and where you're at right now. Some of you have already hit the street. Some of you are going to hit the street and don't have a nickel to your name and couldn't scrape up nothing. Well, let me tell you as a strong word of encouragement what God will do. When you turn your life over to Christ and start living for him. Hey, I got a text the other morning. My wife woke me up jumping. I thought somebody was kicking in the door, coming in on us. I am sending you a check for $10,000. Because God told me to. The check's in the bank. I checked the account today. It's there. It's available now. It's been sitting there floating. And I'm closing. I'm trying. But let me tell you something. If you need anything from God, right here is the place to get it.
Hi, everybody. My name's Gabriella, and this is my son, King. Say hi. So, I was in jail for 5.5 months straight. I'm an ex-heroin addict. I was on heroin for 3 years straight. I went from doing a 50 bag every 2 to 3 days to a gram in a month. My oldest sister's a heroin addict. She's in prison right now. She left behind 4 kids. Before I found out I was pregnant with King, I was sex trafficked, sold, beat, been through a lot, lived in cars. The day I found out I was pregnant, I got arrested, found out in jail that I was pregnant with this little miracle baby. So the day I found out that I was pregnant with King, I stopped using heroin, cold turkey, went to the methadone clinic, went there the whole time, and he was born a premature baby. Shortly after I had King, I ended up very sick with 5 abscesses in my stomach and almost died in my car, homeless. They said if I wouldn't have came back to the hospital when I did, I probably would have died in my car. So I drove 1 hour back to Madison to be closer to him in the hospital and was going from the 9th floor to the NICU like 20 times a day to the point to where they had to like kick me out of the NICU room, like, Gabby, go back to your room, stop being stubborn, he's okay. If we need you, we'll call you. Nope, I wasn't going anywhere. Finally, I got to spend more and more time with him, but after that, I had to turn myself in for my 5.5 month sentence. He was only 1 month old. His father wasn't involved. You talking? My son's godmom, Jessica Simons, actually took him, because if she wouldn't have taken him, Social Services was going to take him. And I had nobody to take him. So 5.5 months is a long time away from a newborn baby. A very long time. Then Autumn mentioned to me CIP program, and I'm like, going to church? Oh, God, no. Like, if I walk in that building, it's going to light on fire? Nope. It's just not going to happen. Nope. So I started coming, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is kind of weird. Like, what are these people saying? Like, they're probably thinking I'm going to rob them. Like, oh, my God. And the whole time, Renee's just like, Gabby, no. Just keep coming. You're welcome here, your family. And I never really knew what that word was until I met you, Aunt Noah.
Come on, Gabby. It's a miracle right there.
And I only got to see King 3 months out of the week. One of them was here. I don't know if you guys remember him coming here, but he was bald-headed and no eyebrows. Didn't even know who this kid was. Doesn't look anything like me. And now I'm out, still sober, and doing it. And it's hard. It's not easy. Like, I'm mad at my sister, but I forgive her. It's a bad disease. But I know if I can change, anybody in here can change. So I want to say thank you to everybody for accepting me and my son with open arms, not judging, not none of that, because you guys have no idea how much it means. And I want to say thank you to Renee and Noah, and I love you.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Autumn. Been coming here since, what, October? It's a wonderful program. I feel like it's turned my life around. I was the epitome of bottom. I was miserable inside. And when I started coming here, I started seeing that light again. And I am so grateful to all of you, especially Renee and Noah. I mean, you guys have been so wonderful to me. It's like having another brother and sister. And I could come to you about anything, and you guys are there. A little bit about me. I'm also a recovering heroin addict. I have been using off and on for going on 9 years. I've been clean for 9 months. And And with God's help, it'll stay that way. I completely rely on this program. I've been through treatments. I've been through jail. I've been through prison. I've been through treatments and dozens of different programs that I could just go on, and none of them have done for me what this program has. So, thank you.
Hi, my name is Marilyn, and I was in jail for 6 months straight. The three of us were all kind of bunkmates together, so we all stuck together. We all started coming to church together. We all stuck through it. We all got out around the same amount of time, and we all kept coming back. I have PTSD, and I have severe depression and stuff like that. I'm on a lot of medication. I was in the Army for 7 years. And while I was in jail, I was very, very, very depressed. If you ask these two, all I did was sleep. I don't talk a lot, and nobody really knew me. I started coming to church, and that meant something. I look forward to coming to church every Sunday. Amen. I have three kids. One is here tonight with me, along with my husband, and we've been together 22 years. We met in the service, actually, so... But I want to thank also Heather out there. She was with us in the bunkmates there. So and she's still coming. But I want to thank Noah and Janine and Renee. I'm sorry, I'm very nervous. And Renee, I wouldn't have made it without you. Thank you very much.
The graduates, let's stand. Pastor Hawk. Praise God. All right. Would you all, hey, hold on, graduates. Come on back. Come on back. The most important thing here, all right? We're going to have Reverend Hawk pray for you guys. Church, would you help us pray?
Before I pray, there's one thing that I would like to say to the graduates. Some of the most prolific soul winners in this church have been graduates that have come through CIP. Let God use you. You know what doesn't work. Doesn't make any sense to go back and do it again. Heavenly Father, we come together, Lord, at this graduation. We thank you, Savior, for these precious souls that have given their lives, Lord God, to the word of truth that have been presented in the CIP program, and further, Lord God, by the truth of your word in this service. I pray and ask, Lord God, mighty anointings to rest upon them, a greater desire, Lord God, to be used of you, Lord God, to be vessels called according to your purpose. I thank you, Lord God, for this family that will accept them, Lord God, that will support them, Lord, and let them, Lord God, continue to come and be blessed by you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right, graduates. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about, church. You can be seated. We all have a testimony. Amen? God has brought us all out from something, somewhere, maybe someone, right? No more depression, Marilyn. Speak to that depression. I'll meet you at the altar. We're going to pray against that. No more. There's no room for depression in you. You're a child of the King. Amen? 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 All right. Hallelujah. This man has been through it all and back. I love this guy with all my heart. Him and I have been to hell and back in some way, shape, form, or another. I love him with everything inside of me. He's my best friend in the world. I do anything for him, and I know it reciprocates. And it's an honor to invite my best friend, Carl James, up here to bring the word of the Lord tonight. Share your heart, brother.
No fair, Noah. Last time he spoke, I introduced him. I made him cry, so he's trying to do the same thing to me. Let's give Noah and Renee a round of applause. They're just wonderful people. Of course, our pastoral staff for allowing this program to happen, and the Hawks for pioneering it. I look up to and respect the Hawks. Wonderful people. And I just want to say that I am truly grateful and very thankful for the opportunity to be involved in this CIP graduation. I don't take it lightly. I'm very honored that Noah asked me to be involved in it because I understand the value of the program. I never took the course when I came into church, but I understand the value of the CIP program because I come from a background of similar. I come from a background of addiction and substance abuse myself. And I've heard it described many times, and I myself used to use the terminology that at one point in time I was a slave to my addiction, or I was a slave to my addictive tendencies or my chemical dependence. And I've also heard it a lot of times in church culture. People say, I used to be a slave to my sin. And that's simply just not true. And when I was praying about this message and what I was going to speak, and this came to my mind, and I thought about it, I prayed about it, and I looked it up, and the definition of a slave is somebody who's taken against their will, sold, and forced to do something that they never wanted to do for somebody else. And so we can't be, and it wasn't until that I fully understood and realized, and I had that revelation in my own life, I couldn't get the deliverance and I couldn't get the breakthrough and the healing that I needed until I understood and realized that I couldn't be a slave to my addiction because nobody was forcing me to do the things that I had chose to do. It was a choice. And so nobody was forcing me to, you know, put cocaine in my nose. No one was forcing me to drink alcohol at 7 in the morning when I woke up and all throughout the rest of the day, all week long. Nobody was forcing me to do that. And until I owned that, I couldn't heal from that and I couldn't move forward from that. So it's very imperative that we understand that we don't get anywhere that we're at without making a choice. Amen. And so tonight I just want to talk from the heart. I know that I don't have a whole lot of time, and I don't want to cut into the fellowship that we're going to have together, and I know that everybody needs to get back on the vans and stuff, but if I could just speak to you from the heart, and if you could just hear what I'm saying, because it really, God wants you to get a hold of this. And I kept it simple, I kept it short, but I want to pose to you the question, memories or milestones? And there's two main characters in the Bible that I want to reflect on for real quick today, and one of those is a man by the name of Saul. Some of us remember him as Paul, and another man by the name of Simon, who we know as Peter. Both men had their name changed by God. The reason why I picked these two men in particular is because I feel that the majority of us as human beings can relate to them the best, not necessarily the things that they did, but their attitudes and their mindset. You see, there's really two kinds of people in the world. There are people that struggle with low self-esteem, lack of self-worth, maybe lack of self-confidence. Maybe they go through life and they just can't seem to get things right. And then there's people on the other side of the spectrum. Those are people that they struggle with having too much pride. They struggle with having maybe a little too much confidence in themselves and in their ability to fix their own problems and do their own thing. And so Saul, before the Lord changed his name to Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was a very self-righteous man, and he thought he had everything figured out, and that he thought he was doing the work of the Lord, but basically his job was persecuting Christians. And Saul, over the course of his life, did absolutely atrocious things. Saul was personally responsible for the murder of Stephen, one of the disciples. And so he entered people's homes. He forced them out of their homes. He forced them into prison. He abused them. He beat them. Christians persecuted them. And he thought he was doing what he was supposed to do. And he was just a very self-righteous man. But we read in the Bible that one day the Lord appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, and he blinded him with a bright light. And Saul already knew what time it was before he ever even spoke to the Lord, because when he opened up his mouth, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew it was God. He knew what was going on. And the Lord replied to him, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." And the Lord basically told him that he needed to get up, he needed to go into the city, and he needed to find a man named Ananias. And Saul obeyed him, and he went into the city, and we read that he spent several days with disciples and in Damascus. And long story short, Paul went about the rest of his life that we know him, preaching and teaching the gospel. Amen. And then we look at the guy named Simon. Simon was actually exactly what his name meant, and I've preached this particular message several times. Simon meant a piece of grass, a reed in the water, just a soft piece of grass, just blowing to and fro, you know, didn't really have a backbone, kind of just went with the flow of everything. Simon was just an old dirty fisherman who became one of the first disciples after he met Jesus by the river one day. And Jesus changed his name to Peter, and that means rock. So he went from just this guy going with the flow to the rock, and which, you know, Jesus Christ said he wanted to build his church. Amen. Peter was a man called by God, and throughout the Bible he stumbles and he messes up a lot of times, but I always really latch onto that story of Peter because I find myself in a similar position. I relate to Peter because, you know, I'm just a man. You know, I've messed up, I've made mistakes, I've come to God, give my life to God, try, fall short, mess up again. But Peter just, he just kept getting back up and he kept persevering and he kept moving forward. No matter what his shortcomings were, he kept allowing God's grace and mercy to lift him back up in his life and to move forward. And at one point in time, he even tried to go back to fishing, but it didn't work. And can I tell you something? Sometimes we try to go back to our old life, but once you have an experience with God, once you have an experience in truth, once you have experienced his presence in an apostolic environment like this, you can never go back to your old life and have it work and be the same. You can't do it. You simply cannot do it. It doesn't work. It can never be the same. Amen. And that's why when I came to church, and I came out of that life, I had to separate myself from that sin. I had to separate myself from the negative influences in my life. And it was one of the hardest things that we have to do in our process, in our transformation process, is that we have to cut ties. We have to cut ties with people who sometimes we've known our whole lives. I had to cut ties with a guy who used to be, he was my best friend. We did everything together. But you know what? His influence on my life wasn't conducive to me moving forward. And when my life began trending upward and trending in a new direction and trending in a more positive direction, you know, those people, they weren't there for me. Oh, they always try to make excuses. Oh, you know, you can just come to the bar a couple of times. It's no big deal. You know, we don't have any cocaine with us, Carl, so, you know, you can come party a little bit. It's not that big of a deal, right? Well, no, as soon as you step into that environment again, you're opening the door for yourself to be tempted and yourself to be pulled back in. And you have to be able to look around you and look in your life and note out and pick out the encouragers, the people who are going to be there for you, who are going to motivate you, push you to continue to succeed. Those are the people you need to surround yourself with. All the rest, they got to go. They got to go. Because if they're not going to help you better yourself and move yourself forward, then there's no point in you having them in your life. What's the definition of a milestone? Anybody know? Anybody tell me what the definition of a milestone is? Ooh, there it is. A definition of a milestone, the first one is a stone functioning as a milepost, which is pretty straightforward. I got the title for this, or the question, for the challenge for this message, and I looked it up, and that's the first thing I read, and I'm like, okay, that's not really, that's not very challenging. A stone that functions as a milepost, awesome. But then I read down, and then I read exactly what the sister said right here. A significant event or a stage in life that marks progress or development. What's a memory? Can you tell me what a memory is? Come on, everybody. You got to know what a memory is. Somebody. Something from the past. The definition of a memory is something remembered from the past. That's it. That's all it is, nothing more. And I can't stress this or emphasize this point enough, that right now, at this very moment, in your lifetime, you're standing at a crucial, pivotal junction in your life. That you're standing basically in the same footsteps as these two guys that I talked about in the Bible, where you're at a crossroads, an intersection where Jesus Christ has met you in your life, and you have to make a choice. You have a choice to make. Your experience in the Christian, in the CIP program, or your experience at Calvary Gospel Church, a memory that you look back on and you say, I did that program. I completed that course. Or you have the choice to make it a milestone in your life where you look back and you say, that was a time in my life where I allowed myself to be developed, where I allowed myself to make a change in my life, where I allowed myself to be made better. Amen? Because Noah's testimony can't save you. And the classes that you take can't save you. It's called the CIP program, the Christian Intervention Program, right? It's not the IP program. It's not the intervention program. The success of this course in your life, it all relies on your ability and your willingness to allow Jesus Christ to intervene in your life and the impact that you allow Jesus Christ to make in your life. In America, we're way too proud of people. That's why people are making bank off writing self-help books, because everybody wants to help themselves. They want to go to the store, they want to get the book, they want to read and figure out how can they fix it. But we can't fix everything ourselves in life. And so sometimes, you know, we go out, we can mess up our lives so bad that we just have to give our lives back to God and allow God to take those pieces and God to put those pieces back together, because that's the only way that we can be fully restored to who he wants us to be and who he created us to be. Amen? There was this awesome place that I used to go to in the mall called Alterations. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. I know Brother Hawk, he gets his cool suits altered at the cool place in Chicago, but I'd bring my suits back, and I'd go to Alterations. I love the guy there. I'd get a pretzel from the pretzel maker before Annie Ann's or whatever that place is took over. They stink. The pretzel maker's awesome. But I used to take my suits in there to get tailored. And I would always go in there, and I would tell the man what I wanted him to do to my suit. And he would take the measurements, and he would look at the suit, and he would have me put the suit on. I would put it on, you know, and he'd say, okay, you want this done? You want that done? I'd say, yeah. And he goes, okay, well, I think you should take it in here, do this, do that. That's what I think. And I'm like, okay. I always just let him do what he's the professional, right? That's what he does. And I would just say, do your thing. Go ahead. And so he would do it, and it always looked awesome. And, you know, that's exactly what God does. God is the master tailor in our lives. And a lot of times we bring our lives to him, a life that's not fit for us. And we say, God, you know, this life doesn't fit me. So can you add a little here? I need a blessing here. And I could really use a job, or I could really use wife, husband, whatever it may be. I could use that. And God says, okay, but my opinion is, I think you need to let me take a little in here and take a little out here and add a little bit here. And we need to trust God's professional opinion, because that's what he does. He's the master tailor, amen? And you know, I thought it was so awesome, because I put this point in here that Brother Rodney stood up here and he just emphasized hanging out and spending time at the altar, that if he's got to ride the altar all the way to heaven, he's going to do it. And I put this in here after this analogy about a tailor, that you can't have an altar in your life until you have an altar in your life. And so if you're coming into church and you want God to change you and you want God to transform you, but you're not spending time on your knees in prayer asking him, Lord, what is it that you want me to do with my life? What is it that I need to take out, cut out, add here? Then we can never have that alteration in our life that we need so that we can move forward. Amen? And then I just want to stress this point, that you belong here just as much as anybody else does. You belong in this church. You belong at Calvary Gospel Church just as much as anybody else here. Doesn't matter if, like Brother Ashcroft said, if they've been coming here 30 years, where they came from, what their testimony is, you belong here just as much as anybody else. And you know what? I was raised in church. Bishop is my grandfather. Pastor Roy is my uncle. You know, I was raised in this, and I walked away from it. I didn't buy into it. I didn't allow God to transform my life at a young age like I should have. But when I came back, the same lies I believed, that you don't belong here. You don't belong here. Look at you. I walked through the doors. I got 60% of my body covered in tattoos. I got piercings all over the place. I got a mohawk. And you're looking around. You see people in suits and everything. And you're thinking, I don't belong here. I don't fit in here. Let me tell you something. Don't be intimidated by a suit. If I took this suit off, everybody would be asking me if I signed in the clipboard at the beginning of service. I'm telling you. Hey, we're all at just different places in our journey, in our walk with God. Amen? And I wonder if the church can be vulnerable really quick, because I just wanted to do this. If you can just be vulnerable and just allow God to use you right now just by simply standing up. If you could stand up if you ever struggle with alcohol in your life, stand up. And I know we have the CIP program here, but just, okay. If you've ever struggled with drugs or addiction in your life, could you stand up? If you've ever been incarcerated in your life, could you stand up? Now take a look around you. At all these people, we all come from a place. We all come from a place. Nobody is better than the other. And look at this. Brother Noah, head of the CIP program. Pastor Hawk, he's pastor in Revival Ridge. You can be seated. Brother Nikelski, he came through the CIP program. He's pastoring an extension work that we just started, Cornerstone on the south side. I mean, God's using people that... Society, when they looked at me, when I was hooked on cocaine and when I was living that lifestyle, society looked at me and said, wow, what a loser is that? Look at that guy. Bottom of the barrel. Probably never amount to anything. It's a lie. And we always like to give the devil credit for that lie, but the devil can't receive credit for that lie. I know he's the father of all lies, but we like to think the devil's like, way better, way greater in our lives than he is. Like, oh, the devil's just messing with me. I've been talking to people about this lately. Oh, the devil, he came and he attacked me today. No, he didn't. The devil is not omnipresent like God is. God's omnipresent. God's all-powerful. God's omniscient. The devil's just a loser that had a big ego. He was a narcissistic angel who thought he could be as good as God, and he got his behind kicked. That's really what happened. And we're like, oh, the devil's lying to me. He's trying to keep me out of church. No, he's not. We do that to ourselves. Our flesh, we think that in our mind, in our own insecurities. And you just need to believe that you belong here. Just like anybody else belongs here. We all need God in our life. Amen. And also another thing that we need to do is we need to learn how to forgive ourselves. The mistakes that we made, the life that we lived, the past that we chose. We need to learn how to forgive ourselves from this point on and move forward. Saul used to kill Christians. He rounded them up, took them out of their house, and killed them. And then Jesus says, I need you to go back into those churches and preach to those people. And I understand those people had to forgive Saul, but don't you think that Saul had to do some forgiving of himself? Like once he realized what he had really done, he had to forgive himself so that he could do what God wanted him to do. And I'm here to tell you, God wants each one of you to do something. You have a plan. You have a purpose for your life. I know that Brother Noah's probably been telling you over the whole course of the CIP program, but he does. And you have a testimony. You're sitting in this building right now, and you have a testimony. You have a place that you were, a place that God brought you from, and you have a victory testimony. Amen? And I just wonder if everybody could stand, and we can have the musicians come tonight. And I just wonder, as we're all standing here, if we could just pray right now. And just pray that God would just move upon our hearts. God would just begin to stir things up inside of us, stir things up in our heart. God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here, God. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for every victory story, God, every testimony in this place, God. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, God, that you've applied so generously to our lives, God. Lord, that we don't deserve you, God. We don't deserve these second chances that we get, God. Lord, we're thankful for them, God. We're thankful for a church, God. Lord, where your spirit moves, God, where the love of God is in this place. Lord, we thank you for that, Jesus. Lord, we glorify your name, God. We magnify your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we just need to search our souls and search our hearts tonight. And I believe that God's trying to issue a challenge to us. And not just people that are in the CIP program, but it could be anybody in this place right now that needs to mark a milestone in their life. When I came back to church, I walked through the doors. My uncle remembers it vividly. I'll get emotional. That's fine. I don't care. It's one of the greatest moments of my life. I just wept in his arms, and I just wept and wept because I felt the love of God so strongly, and I knew I didn't deserve it. I knew I shouldn't be feeling it. I knew, but he just poured it out on me. And it didn't matter the life that I lived. It didn't matter the things that I did. You know, I became a pretty crooked person when I was doing cocaine and addicted to drugs and things like that, and I was selling. And I became a pretty crooked person. I did some things that I'm not proud of. You know, all that stuff hung over my head. And so I couldn't sleep very well at night and stuff. And I just remember coming in here and just giving all that to God. And then after I prayed a long time, prayed, I walked over here when I finally had a moment to myself. And for the very first time in my life, I know I prayed that God would forgive me, but something totally different. I just really got a hold of God. And I stood over there at the altar and I looked up at heaven and I said, God, you know, I never talked to you like this before, but I got a lot of problems and I want to move forward. I don't want to be plagued by this anymore. You know, I know I'm going to go through withdrawals. I've been through them before. All this stuff comes to your mind. I got to go through this process. And I say, God, if you take this from me, if you deliver me right now, I'll never move back from this point again. And I marked the most important milestone that I could ever mark in my life right over there. And there's been times that life is hard. It just beats you up. And there's been times where I've fallen flat on my face and I've made stupid decisions. We're all humans. But I've gone back to that milestone. And I said, God, this is where I made a promise to you. And if I got to start all the way over from square one, I'll start from here because I already promised you that I'm never moving back from this point again, ever again. And I think as the worship leaders begin to sing, we just need to be able to pour ourselves into this altar. And I think we need to make some milestones tonight. We need to mark some milestones in our life that, God, I'm not moving back from this point. God, you've been talking to me. You've been trying to get me to make these choices, trying to get me to make these changes in my life. I'm never going back from this point. I'm never going to do this or do that again. Make a declaration in your life, a declaration to God and a declaration in the face of the devil that he can't have you anymore. Amen. And that you're going to make a choice tonight. I think just pour it, just everybody come to the altar and just begin to pray. If you've already made those milestones in your life, that's awesome. Let's just begin to pray for everybody else who's here. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, mark that milestone. I know we got a brother that's getting baptized tonight. He's marking that milestone in his life, amen? If you've never prayed to receive the Holy Ghost, mark that milestone in your life, amen. Jesus, Lord, we thank you.
Overwhelmed by the weight of sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.